Hi, you're now listening to a sermon from Harvest Community Church in Hoffman Estates, Illinois. We're happy to bring you sermons like this one every week. You can find other sermons at our site at harvest-community.org. So without further ado, here's our speaker.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Pastor Dave. Incredibly grateful for you. And just shout out to the staff, those who serve here, the youth group, the young adults, and everybody. Can we just praise God for all of you as well in this house? Amen. Your prayers and support have been incredible. And it's been such a blessing. And it's such a good feeling to be back to the point where I titled my message today, Welcome Home. And yeah, my heart here has been a constant. It's been a constant theme of welcome home. And the scripture that we're going to look at today, I'll give you a little updates, you know, throughout the message. But we're going to be in the place of Psalms, and Psalms chapter 84, one of my favorite Psalms. And the Psalms has a special place in my heart because it's a creative book. And a lot of us maybe are also creative. And the book of Psalms is a place where there's imagery, there's depth, there's poetic literature. And actually, if you look at the book of Psalms, it actually has every human emotion that's represented. Some would describe that the Psalms is the anatomy of the soul, talking about the heights of our emotion, but also the depths and the struggles. The scripture that we're going to look at today, again, is Psalm 84. And Psalm 84 is not written by David, but it's actually attributed to the sons of Korah. The sons of Korah. Everybody say, sons of Korah. The sons of Korah. Now, who were the sons of Korah? So if we're going to understand who the sons were, we got to understand who was the father. The father, Korah, was actually the man who rebelled against Moses and Aaron during their leadership. And after he died, the sons, his family, his sons, they had a decision to make. Are we going to continue on in a rebellious path like our father, or are we going to choose the godly path? And I think understanding that context helps a lot. Because here they're going to talk about a dwelling place that is a home, even though they came out of a broken home. They were this very amazing band. They were part of the Levite people. They were worship leaders, just like the leaders we had up here. They were this holy boy band, right? Maybe the temple's BTS or Boys to Men or NSYNC or Beatles or I don't know what era you are from, the Jackson 5 maybe. Or maybe, you know, for the youngins from Netflix new movie, maybe they were the Sacha Boys, right? Except the godly type. They were this holy boy band. And here in the scripture, they are a gifted group of boys, of men, who wrote about a pilgrimage, a journey, and a longing to be back in the presence of God with God's people. And that's kind of how my life was this past year. If you don't know, I left about a year ago, and I was really just going through a time of healing and journey. So Psalm 84, and just being in this house right now, preaching about Psalm 84, there's a weight to it and a gratitude in my heart for all of you and what God has done here. So let's look at Psalm 84, written by the sons of Korah. I'm going to read the whole chapter. It's not too long, and then we'll go into it. How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home and the swallow a nest for herself where she may have her young, a place near your altar, Lord Almighty, my King and my God. Verse 4, blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength, till each appears before God in Zion. Hear my prayer, Lord God Almighty. Listen to me, God of Jacob. Look on our shield, O God. Look with favor on your anointed one. Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. For the Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. Lord Almighty, blessed is the one who trusts in you. Amen. Can we pray again? God, thank you so much for who you are. Thank you so much, Lord, for your presence that is real and now and active in this place. And Holy Spirit, we just invite you into this room. As we look at your word, Lord, I pray that we would be reminded, Lord, that we, in you, we are children of God, that we are loved by God, and that we are the light of the world. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you now, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Again, the title of my message today is Welcome Home. Turn to your neighbor and just say, welcome home. Maybe this place, you've been here for a while. Harvest has been your community. I hope that every time you walk through these doors, you get a sense of welcome home. Here in the scripture, the sons of Korah, they're speaking about a journey. They're moving, they're walking, and they're going to the temple. And they have a yearning and a deep desire to go to the place where God dwells. It's a place of strength, the joy, hope, and a sense of home. When I say the words welcome home, what do you think of? What do you feel? Maybe for some of you, thinking of welcome home is going on your couch and just watching some Netflix, right? Some couch, couch, couch. Maybe for some of us, it's getting greeted by your little dog or big dog right when you walk in the door, or cat. Or maybe your little kids, or maybe they're not so grown anymore, or not so little anymore, but they're grown. But you remember the days when they were little and they ran to you. Maybe for some of us, it's that welcome home meal, that home-cooked meal. Or maybe it's that Taco Bell after 9 p.m. When I say welcome home, what comes to mind? A place of rest, relief, and joy. In the scripture, what is home for the psalmist? They said this. They said, how lovely is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. What the sons of Korah is saying is that they're saying, it's not just my body that is at ease in your presence, but it's everything inside of me. It's my heart. It's all of the above. The description of home here is a lovely, amazing place where the Lord Almighty is. And if you look at the original context of the scripture, it's talking about how it's the Lord who is near. It's the God who is near. But not only that, but it's the God of angelic armies. When you're in a place of journeying and moving and pilgrimage, security and safety is such an important thing. I have one point for today, and it's this. Home isn't where you live, but home is where God is. Home isn't where you live, but home is where God is. How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty. For some historical context, the sons of Korah, we're talking about a transitionary time during the people of God, where they experienced the tabernacle back in the day, which was the moving dwelling place of God. It was that portable sanctuary. But then they also experienced the temple of God, which is like this place, a permanent structure where God was dwelling. There's so much detail here about their longing for it. During this time, again, they wanted to go to the place where God's presence dwelled. In verse 3, I used to read this a lot, and I didn't realize the poetic imagery and the depth behind verse 3. Let's look at verse 3 now. It says this. It says, even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young, a place near your altar, Lord Almighty, my King and my God. There's two birds that are mentioned here that may seem insignificant if you're just reading it. But for me, an animal lover, I'm always going to look at some context about animals in the Bible. I used to work at Lincoln Park Zoo, and these two types of birds are very common. So first of all, there's the sparrow. If you think about a sparrow, it's that common brown bird that looks like a finch that's literally everywhere outside over there. So later when you see one, you'd be like, now you could sound smart and be like, oh, that's a sparrow, okay? Now sparrows, why did the sons of Korah use it here in the scripture? Why did they say that they find a home as a sparrow? Sparrows are known as common birds. They're known as cheap, to the point where even Jesus says this in the scripture. Jesus says this. He says, are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. Jesus even says that sparrows are cheap, right? So why is the Sons of Korah writing here that the dwelling place has sparrows? Maybe it's because it's supposed to signify that there are many of us in this room we've felt overlooked before in the past. Maybe we feel very little, unvalued. But here's the thing, in the place of God, you are welcome home. It doesn't matter how you feel. You are welcome into his presence. What about the swallow? The swallow is another bird. It's a very common bird. You don't see it as much, but they are fast. They're very jittery. They kind of fly like bats because they're just kind of all over the place. Swallows are known as migratory birds. They're always moving. They're always going someplace. But here in the scripture, what does it say? It says a swallow makes a nest at the temple of God. I think that reflects a lot of us. Some of us, we move around a lot. We're constantly thinking. We're constantly doing. Maybe we are anxious. But the scripture is saying here is that the temple of God, the dwelling place of God, is where the swallows, those who are always on the move, can actually find rest. And not just find rest, but create their nest. A nest that is a place where it's home. Jesus says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The dwelling place of God is for both the sparrow and the swallow. And maybe for some of us in this room, we relate to one of those birds. Again, home isn't where you live, but home is where God is. The psalmists were longing for the place where he was. Verse 6 and 7, it says, as they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength till each appears before God in Zion. I want to focus on two things there, the valley of Baca and the word strength to strength. So again, this is a psalm where God's people were journeying back to the temple, and they're in a season of transition. And on the way, we have some imagery of the valley of Baca. Everybody say valley of Baca. The valley of Baca, that was a place that was known as a valley of tears, a valley of weeping. It's a representation of the difficult times. And even in Psalm 23, it's kind of similar to when the psalmist David writes, when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. It is not a comfortable place. It is a difficult place. But for some reason, after it talks about that, it says it they move from strength to strength. Now, what is a valley? Think about a valley for a moment. A valley is simply just a low point between two high points, between two mountains. Why is it strength to strength, though? It's strength to strength because welcome home is not just about comfort, but it's about communion. You're walking with God. God is with you. And within communion with God is comfort. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 3:18 something that mirrors this idea of strength to strength in difficult times. He says this. He says, we are being transformed from glory to glory. The dwelling place of God is a season of movement, difficulty, transition, journey. But with God, it is strength to strength. Again, if you don't know my story, this past several years, prior to leaving Harvest last year, man, we went through some trials. It was a long season of hardship to the point where, I'll be honest, I had a mental breakdown, and it was difficult. Personally, I had to walk through the valley of Baca. There was a lot of tears. There was a lot of grief. I felt like I let down so many people, including maybe even here at Harvest. I felt like I let down myself and even God. But I had to go back to just being a child of God. After Harvest, I spent several months just solely on seeking healing in God, in my mind, body, and spirit. One of the things that I did, I did about 12 to 15 sessions of EMDR therapy, which is very intense PTSD therapy. It's the type that combat veterans go to, and I was like, all right, if I'm going to try to get healthy, I'm going to try to do the most intense things. And each session, at the end of our session, my therapist, we would just invite the Holy Spirit into the moments. And even though I was in the valley of Baca, I was moving strength to strength because at the end of each session, I was reminded I was a child of God and that I was loved by God. After that, I did a lot of holistic things. I exercised a lot. I spent a lot of time just in solitude with Jesus to the point where I went through the Bible in 3 months. And I share that not because anything good about me, but I was just so hungry to be in God's presence and in his word, to feel whole again. I was moving strength to strength. And I'll be honest today, I'm still on my journey, but man, I was full of tears when I left here, but I am full of joy and tears as I stand here. Strength to strength, it reminds me of this multi-day hiking trip. The trip was hard. It was difficult. It was many miles. But I remember on my hiking trip when I was going down the mountain, and I knew we were at the end of our hike. The crazy thing is you could be struggling. Your legs could be sore. But on a hike, when you know you're almost back at home, back at your car, back at your cabin, there is a new strength that happens in your footsteps. And you actually get more energetic. You get more inspired. And in a sense, you move strength to strength. There's this quote that I found by a woman named Angela Wood. She said, "If you know you're going home, your journey is never too hard." Psalm 84 is about a journey going home to that dwelling place. They're not in the dwelling place currently, but they're on the way. It's not easy. It's difficult. There's grief. There's trial. But there's something to look forward to. C.S. Lewis once said this. He said, "God whispers to us in our pleasures, speaks in our conscience, but he shouts in our pains. It is his megaphone to rouse a deaf world." As a result, this is why we can move strength to strength as followers of Jesus. That we can even move strength to strength even in the valley of Baca. They are so close to the place where God dwells. And in the valley is where we can hear God the most. This past year, man, I've been hearing the shouts of God in the quiet times. The whispers were so loud because that's all I was with. Because again, home isn't where you live, but home is where God is. Verse 10, probably the most famous verse in this passage, it says this, "Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked." The sons of Korah wrote here with visual comparison. I would rather be near God at the door than outside in the luxuries of a tent. You know, there was a time in my life where I got to experience being a doorkeeper, and I showed this like a few years ago, but I got to show it again because we're talking about doorkeeper. All right. If you could cue the video, all right, you could show the picture real quick. So I've done a lot of cool jobs, and during a certain time in my life, I decided to try out some acting, right? So I got casted for this film called Captive State. Anybody seen it? Neither have I. It's all good. But it was a movie with John Goodman. I was casted to be a SWAT team guy. You could start playing the video. And I was a doorkeeper. And I'm going to show you real quick this doorkeeper scene. All right. I'm going to talk through. Oh, there I am. Get ready. Boom. All right, that's all you get. That's all you get. In this movie, I was casted for 5 days. Half the time, I'm running. I'm entering in the door. I'm crashing through things. But you never see my face, right? But when I got to be the doorkeeper, I felt like I got to be part of the movie. And I'll be honest. I understand a little bit about that doorkeeper because I loved being a doorkeeper in Pilsen. Just standing there, even just in the background, versus just watching the movie, right? I got to experience what it was like to just be something simple, something grand. All I did was stand there, but man, I felt so honored. Here in the scripture, sons of Korah say, "Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. I'd rather be a doorkeeper." Maybe the reason for this verse is because the sons of Korah experienced the living God. Maybe the sons of Korah wrote that it was better in one day because they had a genuine relationship with the living God. Something so tangible and memorable that they long for that moment again. You know, for some of us in this room, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Maybe right now, you are thinking about the moments where the Holy Spirit and you just were together, where you were drenched with the presence, a holy experience. Maybe it was at a retreat. Maybe it was at Arise. Maybe it was at the congregational retreat. Maybe for some of you, you think of a time where you were sick, you were bedridden, or maybe life was just wrecking you and situations kept changing and it was chaotic, but for some reason, the peace of God was over you that transcends all understanding. And it was undeniable. And you can relate to this verse, say, better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. For me, man, that was this past year. My focus was just being in the presence of God. Just being in his presence and just loving his word and loving time with him. And it was truly just laid on my heart that home isn't where you live. It doesn't matter what you're at, where you're walking, but home is where God is. I shared this at my final message to the youth group last year. And there's a pastor in California, a newer friend of mine. Her name is Susie Gomez. And she went to a leadership training that actually Pastor Dave is one of the people that trains many leaders. It's called Arrow Leadership. And during one of the assignments, what she did was she wrote this thing. And at the end of it, she wrote, "All I want to hear," and I'm speaking from memory. I don't remember which sermon it was, so I'm just speaking from memory. I might have some details wrong. But the final part of her writing or her essay was, "I just want to hear these words when I go to heaven." And the words that she wrote this was, "I just want to hear, well done, my good and faithful servant." And during that time in the message, I was like, yes, that's what I want to hear too. Let's go. Amen, sister. Right? But you know what her leader, the director, did? She gave the paper back to her. She said, "Do it again." And she was confused. She's like, "Wow, wasn't that good?" And then the more she wrestled with God, the more she looked at the word and just her faith journey, she changed it a little bit. And the next time she handed in the paper, instead of hearing, "Well done, my good and faithful servant," which is amazing, that's a good thing, but instead of putting that would be the first thing she wants to hear from God, from Jesus, face to face. Instead of that, you know what she wrote? She said, "All I want to hear is welcome home. To finally be in the presence and the dwelling place of Jesus face to face. To finally hear the words that are reflected in Psalm 84. Guys, this was my heart this past year, and I hope that I can leave that with you. Because so many times we get wrapped up with just doing and doing and doing, but I gotta remind us that the simple gospel is this. It's not about what we do, but it's about what was already done on the cross and through the resurrection. In Psalm 84, if you think about it, it talks about how we are the doorkeepers. But here's the thing, at the end of the Bible, in Revelation, we see something flip from us being the doorkeepers, waiting and yearning for the presence of God. But then in Revelations, we see that Jesus does something. Instead of us being the doorkeepers, Jesus goes to the door and knocks. He knocks on the doors of our hearts. He does the things that we could not do. In Revelation 3:20, again, he says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him and he with me." Home isn't where you live. Home is where God is. And if you think about it, the presence of God came to us through Jesus. John 1 says, "And the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Glory as only the Son of the Father, full of grace and truth." In the original text in John 1, it says that the word Jesus became flesh and dwelt among us. But if you look deeper into the translation, it actually says this. It says, "The word became flesh and tabernacled among us." Jesus became flesh and tabernacled among us. Praise band, you could come up. If you could put up the next slide. I want to give you a quick run through of the dwelling place of God
The dwelling place of God is all throughout Scripture, but in Psalm 84, it actually reflects the entire history of the dwelling place of God. First, the dwelling place of God, it started in the Garden of Eden. And then it went to that portable sanctuary, the tabernacle, where they would move through the wilderness. And then it went to that permanent structure, Solomon's temple. And then the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus became the tabernacle. And then after Jesus was resurrected and left and brought the Holy Spirit, it says that the believers, the church age, us, we became the dwelling place of God. But then later on in Revelation, we see that the dwelling place of God is everywhere, in everything, in the new earth, in the new Jerusalem. At the end of Psalm 84, it reflects the end of the Bible, the last page of the Bible. Psalm 84:11, it says, "And for the Lord God is a sun and a shield." The Lord God is a sun and a shield. And in Revelation, the last part of the Bible, it says this. It says, "And night will be no more. They will need no light or lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light forever and ever." Because home isn't where you live, but home is where God is. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. God, thank you so much that your presence is all around, God. And that even throughout history and through the scriptures, we see that your presence is always on the move. And the only reason why we could long for you is because you first decided to long for a relationship with us, God. And we're so humbled by that. We're so grateful that the King of the universe, the King of kings, name above all names, invites us into friendship, into relationship, into intimacy with you, God. Lord, I pray today that for some of us who have kind of stopped longing to be in your presence, I pray that you would remind them of the times where you were there, in those dark places maybe, in those valley of Bacas. Remind us how you took us through that. And for those of us who maybe have never experienced your true loving grace and power, Lord, I pray that they would experience this now, whether it's through the worship, whether it's through this community, or even just your tangible spirit as we worship you. God, we thank you so much that you are the God of everything, the near, the far, the close, the pain, the tears, the joy, the laughter, and that you are so good. We thank you for what you have done in the gospel. In Jesus' name. Let's continue to pray just for a brief moment. You can keep your eyes closed or open, whatever you want to do. But just ask God this simple thing. God, I want to be in your presence. And just ask him, God, create a hunger in me for more of you. And then we'll just end in this song.
Thanks for listening to the sermon from Harvest Community Church. If you would like more information or have any questions or comments, check out our website at harvest-community.org. Thanks for listening.